The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite. Repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Eric'sFamilyBBQ.com.
Eric's Family Barbecue has arrived and is simply the best barbecue in Arizona. Come satisfy your taste buds with meats that are smoked over mesquite wood and sides that are made with fresh ingredients and tons of love. They have the best, juiciest brisket, pulled pork, rib, sausage, turkey, or everyone's favorite, the Pitmaster Sampler that includes all the meat and four sides, mac and cheese, potato salad, coleslaw, corn, or beans. Yum! And for dessert, try some creamy banana pudding. Amazing! Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Make the trip. You won't be sorry. Dine in or take it to go. Go to Eric's Family BBQ.com for more info.
Steve Byrne is here. CB Live at Desert Ridge is where the young man is. And of course, you've been coming on the show for a long time. I didn't even know you had a loyalty like this, that you would wear such a thing. But you come in here this morning after my hour-long dissertation, my rant, the whole thing about fandom and sports and how you can steal away the linchpin, the Mr. Cub 2.0, sure. A guy who is almost guaranteed to be a statue outside of Wrigley Field. Think of that.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed to do it, and now he's in Yankee pinstripes.
And here comes this peacock walking down the hallway.
Yeah, and then you peacock
guy. Hey, how's everybody doing?
And you acted
it's
like
Force Radio. It's COVID.
Yeah, you acted
everybody
like
cool.
You didn't
you
know.
Son of a.
Here's my prediction. Now that Steve Byrne has done this, is that this will be this. You are the second to last act at a comedy club here in town before it all shuts down again because of the Epsilon. The Epsilon COVID's coming.
I'm the Wuhan bat.
That's right. That's exactly it. We've brought
swooped
you
in.
Yeah, because this is just everything. Code for me to say it's all about to shut down again because that's the only good thing that can happen now is that baseball has to shut its doors because I don't want to watch Rizzo go running off in New York and celebrate. And I hope they don't, by the way.
This is almost like your notebook.
Well, that's what we were saying this morning.
Yeah.
A woman doesn't like sports. Look, you're not even going to get a word in today. A woman doesn't like, this has been my theory for a long time, doesn't like sports a lot of the times because they see what a man in love actually looks like. And we don't do that with them.
Right.
And it's sad to say, it's not correct. Our loyalties towards sports are bigger than our friendships and our emotional, and it's true.
It's a different loyalty.
Sometimes it's just not, and it's weird.
I have a friend who's a comic from Cleveland named Ryan Dalton, and he cried when the Cavs won.
Yeah.
And his wife was happy for him, but she's like, you know, he's like, what? She's
how many like, things have I done?
You didn't cry on our wedding day.
Nope.
Like, this is different.
Not as big
a
deal.
Well, I did, but I don't want to talk about that.
Here's the thing about the wedding, and this is my first thought that popped in my head, is I would have said to her, I'm like, I can have another wedding day. This may never happen again. That's a man's sports
game,
mind.
Set,
yeah,
match.
When we're in sports mode, don't talk to me about love. This is what love looks like. It's sad. Yeah, like there's a picture in my home of Anthony Rizzo in a prom pose with my wife. And it's blown up. And he signed it. And I said yesterday, I'm like, we got to take that down. She goes, why? I'm still in it. I'm like, I didn't ask you to autograph it. It's going in the closet now. He's a Yankee. It's not happening. It's terrifying.
So this goes deeper, though. Do you have a hatred for the Yankees then?
I don't like any teams that aren't the Cubs. Like my sports loyalty lies like the Steelers are the team I love in football.
Right.
And the rest of them can go eat it.
Right.
I don't have a second favorite. I have teams I hate more than others. The Yankees are I'm an American League thing.
Yeah.
I don't like the evil empire. Like most people, I will root against the Yankees in most cases.
Right.
Now it's just they took my statue, man. They took my guy. You saw the office here. I got an autographed Rizzo jersey. It's over.
How long is that staying up?
It's gone tomorrow.
Is it?
I'm going to donate it to a charity.
Come on.
Oh yeah, it's gone.
Come on.
That's gone.
No, you can't. What?
That's
throw him an offer.
Give it time.
What do you mean?
Give it time. Uh-uh. You had a nasty.
No, you have
up.
To knee-jerk
you know
these
what?
Moments.
You're gonna
these moments require knee-jerk reactions.
You don't know how it works.
Later in life, you call and beg for it back, just like women.
This like if it was the '80s, you'd have the jersey toss. You'd be like, meet me at the 95 bridge. I'm gonna light this thing on fire. We're gonna drop it into the you know,
Tempe Town Lake.
I think you gotta just take a breather.
Nope.
He's still a good guy.
Sure. But he's in that hanging on the wall in there is
it doesn't.
It's like having an ex girlfriend on the wall.
To a moment in time, it gave you what
I
you
still
wanted.
Have that.
Yeah, just
But now I got to watch him do something with the, like, it's like watching your ex bang a guy and go, that used to be mine. I got pictures of it all over the house.
So looking at the pictures like being a cuck then.
What would it be? Would you be all right then? I mean, like, I guess the equivalent would be like Crosby. If he goes,
don't go there.
If Sidney's a cat, don't you do this to me.
Sidney's, yeah. Don't you dare.
Sidney Crosby, now we're hitting your hockey. Sid the Kid, who you probably have an 87 folded jersey in some sort of shadow box in your house. Yeah, of course. And it's autographed. And yeah. But you've got three cups with him. He needs to stay there forever.
Yeah, you want him to retire to.
Right. But let's say he goes, no more. I don't want to rebuild this team. I got one last shot. I want a chance. Look, and they trade him to Tampa.
Right, right. You don't want that.
No,
no one wants
it would kill
no
you
wants
to see
their viewer
the
to end up in Florida.
No.
You want him to stay in his house in Fox Chapel and just, you know, call it a day.
Unless, of course, your hero's Jewish. He's going to end up in Florida anyway in the latter years.
At some point, yeah, yeah.
Right. In Boca.
Yeah, going to Boca.
I think, like, though, like, if I was an Oiler fan, right?
Right.
And Gretzky brought me four cups. And then he goes to the Blues. He goes to the Kings. Right. He goes to the Rangers. It's like I wouldn't take an autographed Oilers jersey down. I would still be thankful that part of the legacy, part of the greatest player to ever play the game played.
That's kind of like how I have that one up there in our office.
Of Gretzky with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's still, he retired a Ranger. He still kept, he still
did he get a cup with the Rangers? He wasn't there with the
Messier. No. They didn't. No, Messier and they,
that was
they
the
had,
team.
They,
Gardner
they had a run. Yeah.
Messier and all those guys were.
They brought all those guys back. Right. But you know what happens when they go to the Yankees? Nothing.
That's true.
Nothing. And even when they get it, if they win the World Series, it's almost kind of like not legitimized because it's almost like they paid for it.
Yeah, but Tom Brady as a Buccaneer is tough for, like, because I can't, because I've been all over, I've been all over people for, like, Patriots fans who cheer for the Bucks.
Oh, like, right.
That's rough.
I played you the Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, who's like, I'm a Brady fan first, and he's just pissing off all, I mean,
and
like,
he
you,
said so on the Buccaneers.
You ride or die.
Go Bucks!
It makes your loyalties. Oh. It makes your loyalties questionable as a fan, as
know,
a
you,
man. A man, Steve Byrne, as a man. Didn't you wear a pirate hat?
I leave a lot of hair on the show.
Yeah, on Sullivan and Son. Weren't you wearing pirates hats on that show? Didn't you have pirates gear on your TV show?
Oh yeah.
All through the Pittsburgh bar.
Yeah,
it was all garbage lies.
It's funny.
The veil is lifted, man.
Sullivan and lies.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I love the Bucks, by the way. Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. I am a huge fan. They just won, right? Love them. I'm going to Leeds after the show to get out for
you. You know what I feel bad about right now? My shoes are Antetokounmpo's. I wear Giannis Antetokounmpo's. They're great shoes.
Nike
freak shoes. And I feel a little bit guilty about that.
So you really, like this... It's not like you're not doing this for Eddie. You like legitimately are pretty darn bummed.
It's you come to my house and take a look at Cubs wall. I built a sports bar at my house. Just
sounds
to hang
like
stuff.
You're going to end up on Dateline killing this guy.
No question. No, not Anthony Rizzo.
Like
maybe
super
the,
fan
maybe
wearing
the GM.
His skin.
Look out, De Niro.
I would wear a skin. Right. Well, I interviewed him two times for this thing.
Yeah.
As a Super Cub fan, spring training comes around, and then the second year, he's like, let's do that again for this product he endorses. And asked for me, and I said, you know that makes us best friends. And joking around, he goes, yeah. I said, you can't go anywhere. He's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, I won't. And I said this earlier today, that I was a person who interviewed him and introduced him as the Chicago Cubs first world champion first baseman since Frank Chance.
Right.
1908.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's something to us. That's something to us. And now he's like, Yankees. I asked for a trade. I got to try and go to the Yankees.
He's like, what a payback.
Would you have been happier if he went to a smaller market team or because it's
no.
Evo Empire? Just
he needs to stay a Cub.
See, I agree with you in understanding the, you know, what a championship means to the city of Chicago. Because I was living in Chicago when they won their second Cup. And the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And just seeing how Chicago rallies.
The
how
buzz,
much it means
the
them.
Vibe.
My buddy Dave Boland, who's third line center, you know, shutdown guy, he won the Cup and he was the only Blackhawk to stay in Chicago over the course of the summer.
Yeah.
And we got to know each other quite well. And he gets a day with the Cup, right? Which I think is the greatest tradition in all the sports.
Yep. Totally
First off, the Stanley Cup looks like a trophy. Like
The it's 6 feet tall. It's huge.
The other ones, they look like sales trophies.
Right.
They look like
yeah.
the
a tea kettle.
The one you win. The
basketball ones are the worst.
It's horrible.
It looks like the one like we got in Little League.
But baseball, it's like somebody's going to poke their eye out with this thing. Yeah. You can't celebrate with that.
No.
And the NFL one, it just like it looks like some Merrill Lynch would give out for like great fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But like the cup looks like a cup, and then there's men holding it up, and you get to go take a victory lap. It was so cool.
And you got to do that?
No.
Oh, you
no,
were
no,
part
no.
of it.
No, no. So Dave gets the cup, right? And so Rocky Wirtz, the owner of the Blackhawks, says, "Look, Dave, whatever you do, do not take the cup to Wrigley." He's like, "I'm not going to take the cup to Wrigley." He's like, "Listen to me, Dave. You do not take the cup to Wrigley." He's like, "I will not take the cup to Wrigley." Flash forward like Ferris Bueller,
no.
right? Rocky Wirtz is watching the Cubs game.
And there he is.
And Bolin is on one of those rooftops.
Yeah.
He didn't take it.
Oh, yeah, really. He did. He went to the rooftop.
So he's sitting there, and he's chugging, and he's pounding, and he's having the time of his life. The spectators see it. He's holding the cup up. The whole place goes crazy. The game stops for a second. He had to get a police escort out of Wrigleyville that day.
Because the cup was home.
Because the cup was home, yeah. Man. And I just saw, I was like, wow, that's what it means.
Yeah.
It means something
it's
a
different.
Little more special.
The fans were passionate and emotional. I don't know the players know that as much as they should.
Yeah.
Like there's never a meeting between owner, GM, agent, and player going, what would the fans need here? What are we going to do to not crush them? They don't have those talks. It's all business. It's all business. And meanwhile,
well,
it's not
mental
for
health is very prevalent. So let's
very
talk
true.
About the fans' mental health,
I got the twisties.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Did you line them up this week?
I got the twisties. That's good. Steve went on Instagram this week and made
losing
a comment.
Losing followers.
Yeah.
Good. Rapidly.
Good. We talked about this on the Caliendo cast. You're one of the last ones that's like, come get me. Which is
just
great.
Don't care. Yeah.
And it isn't about not caring. Well, you don't care about them because you have a right to say what you want and feel so long as it's not malicious and awful.
Right.
And that's exactly what it is.
If you get offended at a joke, grab a box of tissues and take a lap around, I just don't care.
Right.
It is a joke. It's gotten so – you can't make a joke. It's like it's not about mental health. It's about the situation. It's just a
– She walked away from the situation.
Yes.
I personally think it's going to start turning into every time someone has a bad day. They're going to blame mental health, and we won't be able to say.
Oh yeah.
So you go out there and you get the yips. It's like, I got mental health issues, but I'll sit and watch the team from the dugout. I'm just not going to play. And you're going to walk away. If Tom Brady did this in the Super Bowl and said, I just don't feel it today, coach, send me out. I don't feel like playing. It hurt. I got the twisties. My head's not in it. You'd be like, this guy is a mental basket case. We can't trust him.
Right. Of course.
That's how sports has always been. So sports, it's different. And firefighters emailed me like crazy saying, you're right. I can't walk away. Because it's just not there that
I don't
day.
Feel like fighting this fire today.
Mental health is something you're not used to. It's not supposed to be an excuse. It's supposed to be a reason. An excuse is like, I can't do it because of this. And that's what bugs me about the Simone Biles thing is we're so quick to say. And you tweeted out something. I don't remember what the joke was.
I said hilarious. I wanted to write something funny about Simone Biles, but the pressure got to me.
And people.
And man,
people
here it comes.
Yeah. Did you get a good one?
Here comes the tsunami of Karens.
Yeah. What was your favorite?
Did you expect that? The comics just
Yeah, at this point, it's just like, okay. Even like comics, like, you know, it's so funny because you can see where, like, who liked your stuff. And like over the last year, like, all my comic friends are like, see ya.
Your brand like, liability.
Too hot.
Yeah. I'm like Ovechkin scoring his 50. I can't hold my stick anymore. It's just like, ooh. But I just think it's gotten so out of hand because – unfortunately, everything's tethered politically now.
Yep.
You know, the minute it happened, I go, the left's going to back her and the right's going to vilify it.
Yep.
But somewhere in the middle, everybody's going to have a feeling about this. And I'm a father of two.
Yep.
My daughter's nine. My son is about to turn six. And every time we play hockey, every time they're riding the bike, every time we're doing something physically active, if you fall, what do? They go, get back up. I go, don't. And they always say, quit. It's like it's like repetition. I've drilled this in their head. So when my wife was watching the gymnastics with them, I was just like, well, you know, I wasn't there that day, but it's like I would have said to my daughter, I go, Livy, don't, and she goes, quit.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's something to the idea of saying, I'm just not here today, and it's almost more impressive to say, I didn't have it, and I went out there, and I gave it
and
my best.
And you took a roster spot from somebody else.
Yes.
You nullified somebody else's dream that somebody – you know, work their butt off too for their whole life for that moment, and you took it away from them. So it's like it's more complicated than on the surface. But I think it's funny because the COVID pendulum of entertainment has swung so far with the Jordan doc.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're all glorifying, wow, what a leader.
Right.
Look at that. No BS. To now we're coming out of COVID and we're entertained, obviously, with the Olympics. And you see this and it's just like, I'd err on the side of caution. I'd want Jordan in my locker room.
Of course. When it comes to – that's what my point was with this whole thing.
The German judo coach.
Slapping that lady around. Yeah, he hits her before the thing. Yeah. I've said that too. With sports, it's different. With sports, it's totally different. Part of the deal is, yeah, you can have mental health issues. You've got to overcome all of it to be considered the GOAT. The second she sewed that little goat on her leotard, she announced, I can do anything at any time. Nothing can stop me. Because I'm the greatest ever. We learned that from Michael Jordan. That documentary was basically like, I didn't care what was going on.
Yeah.
Fever 104 or whatever, and I still went out and won a championship because I overcome everything. And that's a message to people with mental health issues, is that don't let it stop you. It shouldn't make you go the other way.
That,
don't quit.
Because that particular decision right there will
be terrible.
Well, I think like for a long time.
You're seeing the opposite of that with Conor McGregor. You know, Conor McGregor, he got destroyed.
Yep.
By Khabib.
Again.
And then he gets beat by Dustin Poirier. Yep. And so you're seeing this invincibility, this swagger coming in. It was like, oh, my God, this guy's great. He's tribal. He's outspoken. But he backs it all up.
Right.
And the minute it all kind of fell apart, now you're seeing this other breakdown in terms of mentality of his changing game, where it's like he's going to places like where his crap-talking
crazy kicks
not
in.
On par with what he was doing before. And it's just like I think mentally you're seeing somebody really break down before our
eyes. Mike Tyson.
You're talking about DMs and your wife and all that stuff. It's like before it was fun. It was creative. It was like it was a bravado behind it. And creativity. Yeah. That when he was doing the press conferences, the press conference weigh-in tour with Mayweather and the one in Toronto – that was one of the most entertaining, almost like roast battles
I've
ever
seen in my life. He was so good. And then you see him get his butt whooped, and then you're seeing this mental spiral go down a different path. It's like, ugh.
Well, I think you're seeing the act get revealed. Like with Tyson. Yeah. Tyson was all show. I've often said that I think Mike Tyson is the most overrated heavyweight fighter of all time. He never beat anybody good, ever. He didn't. You look at his record. Yeah. Like he lost to everybody. The difference between Ali, Foreman, all the
greats. You
wouldn't
know that
great,
at the time because he was just
would.
A beast.
Well, because he was beating him so badly,
average,
so quick.
But so, I mean,
but
those
it was an
are
act.
Professional boxers.
Sure.
But to decimate them all, because we remember, look, we remember that time and period where he, no BS, comes out in black, doesn't talk, just comes out and literally within the first round.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Crush. How long is it going to last?
How long is it going to last? And that was the paper. That was the beginning of pay-per-view, too. Like, why am I going to spend that much money to watch,
A 30-second fight
and
not know the undercard?
Constantly.
But the thing for me, not to say he wasn't a good fighter, but he's the most overrated. And the act sold it. Like, when he became, you know, Iron Mike, and he was the sweet kid at first, and then he kind of was like this off-the-hinges guy. Mm-hmm. And then when he became the one that was like, I'm going to eat your children, he's biting off ears and everything else, you started to see that that dude's not home. And then he realized that sells tickets because that's the only thing. He was losing fights, and he was still selling tickets. Conor McGregor's the same way. You're
trying
losing
fights. Trying to reinvent
fights. He's on his back.
Creating the hype a little bit.
Conor's on his back talking trash.
With a broken leg.
With a broken leg. And that's when you're like, oh, this is all in your head.
Yeah.
You're not real. And I think that's when the audience doesn't like to be fooled. We like the game. We'll play the game. We don't like to be fooled. So that's when Conor kind of was that.
Yeah, you saw the wizard.
Yeah, exactly. The curtain was removed.
Oh, boy.
Leave it to Jake and Logan Paul. They'll handle it.
Yeah, that's
going to
be the future of sports.
Yeah, the pendulum will always swing back with two blonde dudes from Ohio with no talent.
Well, yeah, I'll go with
marketing.
That.
Marketing?
Yeah, they're excellent at that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, boxing has never said what we need more of is Nordic-looking.
What are they famous? I don't even know what they're famous for.
I don't either.
YouTube, I think.
Well, no, I mean, definitely the social media thing, but I don't know what they did that makes them so entertaining.
I have no idea.
Me neither. There's a ton of those, though. That McBroom kid, I don't know who that is, but they shut down Beverly Hills because he showed up outside and 40,000 people showed up, and I'm like,
really?
They had to close Rodeo Drive because there were too many people on it.
What is he? You don't know what he does? Okay.
Does a podcast. Yeah. He wants to fight other podcasters, which I think is interesting. Like, podcasts, the only way they get notoriety is if they fight each other.
Well, they tried stand-up comedy for a while.
Yeah,
a lot of them. And,
really?
And
learn they. Weren't.
I mean, ask anybody that runs a comedy club. They have these YouTubers come in and they'll do a noon show, and then the show is who knows what it is. But there's no show.
Right.
Like, the fans are there. They literally, they just want a picture.
Yeah.
For validation.
So weird.
After, get through your presentation. Yeah. Let's get to the pictures.
So what you're saying is
it's the opposite of everything.
And they sell more.
Right. It's like, I'm here to do morning radio.
Yeah.
I work vampire hours to promote a show and get drilled because I got a Yankee hat when I was in Times Square with my son 2 weeks ago. And I'm trying to huck tickets next to a Journey cover band this weekend, okay?
Is that happening? Oh, it's at CB Live. It will be. Yeah, you're right.
You're going to hear Don't Stop Believing. Okay? You're going to hear Don't Stop Believing at least
faintly. And it's just annoying enough to make you go, oh, there's that. And then you can't help it. I was at Melissa Villasenor the other night and watching her do stuff. And she had a quiet moment and you could hear the band and they were doing Boston or something. And I started to do that. Marianne walking away. I'm at the table singing the thing in the other room. Like, that's what that is, isn't it? Because you're playing Name That Tune in the other room.
Right, right.
So you have to be really good and keep the crowd.
Well, I think
no pausing.
This one, though, is actually pretty darn good compared to the other one. Because this one, because at Stand Up Live, you can kind of hear it.
Yeah.
But at CB Live, they like soundproof that weird accordion.
Yeah, that wall is pretty good.
Yeah.
Kind
of neat.
So when they open it up, it's for sure.
But the key to it is making the audience laugh. And you mentioned that your son was with you in Times Square. I hope your son gets traded. To another family.
Oh, we went there.
That's exactly what my love feels.
There.
Yeah, that's exactly. I hope that someday.
Is Rogan going to interview you now?
Yeah. I would hope someday.
You're just lashing.
Yeah, I am. I'm angry.
Son gets
I'm in a corner. I'm in a corner.
Yeah.
And it's the hat. It's the hat. You said Times Square. You brought up New York again.
You know
you're
what
wearing
I'm
the hat. I hope
you know
your son gets traded to a better family.
Mark my words. Okay, a year from now, I'll be back. And I'm coming out full on pinstripes. I'm going to wear his jersey. I'm going to find his cleats. I'm going to wear his cleats.
That's
hey,
fine.
Guys, what's
I'm
going on?
And you'll wear a photograph with my wife. Let's do it. I'm all for that. Yeah, it's just a different animal. Steve Burns at CB Live at Desert Ridge tonight and tomorrow. And go to cblive.com and get him. All this other stuff that's going on in the world, like the fun thing about your Instagram was, and I love that, and I don't have social media. I won't get on it, but I get told, and people, and Brady let me know about your thing, and I looked into it, is that I think comedy is going to be the thing that brings that back to middle. I think you guys have an I do. I think
give it time.
Somebody else
give it
to take
time.
Credit for it,
no,
but I'm
I think
trying to push back.
This is it. I think the world of comedy has to be the safe place for everybody because most of us are normal. Most of us can take the joke. Most of us can do it. And it's going to be you guys who have your Instagram and have your stuff that has to stop bowing down.
So you can finally say,
to the stuff.
Get over it. To that person that is all fired up and like, you know what?
I'm getting I got so much flack for this one. You know, as a comic, it's like I'm getting calls and texts from comics saying you can't say that. It's like, guys, you're the last person that should be saying this.
Absolutely.
You, beyond. Now, granted, the people that are saying it are extremely progressive comics.
Sure.
In the field of
unlikable,
like being friends with, you know, writers on very important late night talk shows, which I'm not going to mention or whatever, you know. And we all know, like, all of them are so left. And I'm just a comic that, I mean, I get flack for it in L.A. I get flack for it in New York. But I'm like, it's punk rock to not, like, kowtow to the government. Like, I don't believe Obama as much as I don't believe Trump. Like, I just don't like either of them because they're such full of BS. But you guys keep drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And you keep getting disappointed every 4 years. It's like, why do you it's an
we've
endless
made
cycle.
Comedy
just tell
political.
Joe's to settle down.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing. We've made comedy like you have to be left or right to like a guy. And you're
And
that's the crazy part. It's like you're funny or you're not funny. I can watch somebody that says stuff I disagree with if the jokes are good. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, I don't like either of them. That's the thing.
Me too.
I just don't like either of them. I think they're probably decent people at the end of the day. But once they get on and they're soapboxing for a side, I think that especially now the divisiveness is so out of hand that if you tweet or post something that aligns with the right, I'm losing followers all the time.
Yeah.
I'm losing comic friends all the time. I had a friend, a very, very good friend of mine.
Name him.
Maybe I will.
All right, go.
I had a good friend of mine.
Owen Benjamin.
Over, well. He's my Rizzo.
He got traded. He's traded to the evil empire.
Just play that. To the dark side. Oh, yeah. To the dark side. I still love him. I still love him.
Yeah.
It's
hard to
I want to be photographed with him.
Yeah.
but I had a good friend over COVID. I had posted something, and he had an issue with it. And then I called him. Because he had texted me, but then he posted something that I was just like, I thought that the Capitol riots were just as destructive as shutting down the city of Chicago for 48 hours, lifting all the drawbridges because BLM was tearing through Michigan Avenue. And I said, to me, the optics are no different.
True.
And if anything, I think barnstorming a federal building, I'm shocked it didn't happen earlier because the government was so lax in giving everybody some relief over COVID. And so for me, it was like, if it happened over that, I would have been happy. But I was like, I just think that they're both as destructive.
Yes.
And I think they're both something
incorrect ways to handle an issue.
Embarrassing for the country.
Yeah.
And he said he was basically vilifying, you know, the Capitol riots, saying that's horrible. Here's why BLM stuff is justified, and walking me through it. And I was open to hearing him out, right? Now, we were spiraling, and then we got to the point of like, well, who did you vote for last election? And I told him, I said, look, I didn't vote for either candidate. I went and voted, but I didn't vote for either candidate because I didn't
buy into either one.
I didn't buy into either of them. And he absolutely flipped out. He said, I can't even talk to you anymore. The stupidity of that statement, he said, I just can't even be friends with you anymore. I said,
Jesus.
I said, here's the thing. I said, over the course of COVID, I've called you maybe 5 or 6 times to say, I miss seeing you at the Comedy Store.
Right.
I miss hanging out. I miss catching up with you.
It's Roy Wood.
And I, no.
Damn it.
That's all I'm thinking about is the
and
people
I,
could be.
And I said, so you can say that to me, and that's fine. I don't have any ill will towards you, but I know this. You may think I have certain beliefs, but I've been a damn good friend to you. I've been a great friend to you for years. And if you're willing to lose a friend over the fact that I didn't vote for your guy, it's like, then fine.
Yeah,
so
that's
be it.
Stupid because it's political. Now, I'm not friends with you anymore because you're a Yankee fan. And that's normal. That's a reasonable
that
thing. That makes tons of sense. At least that means something to me.
That's right. Yeah.
No, who is it? God, you got to tell us. It's so interesting when people do that.
I could tell you off the air, and then you could say it on the air.
No, but then what's the difference? I'd rather hear from you.
I'll give you his initials.
Okay, I'll guess that.
Neil Brennan.
I love Neil. Neil's hilarious. How is Neil?
I know.
How is
he
Neil?
Got that fired up?
Oh, hold on, though, because Neil made a career with Chappelle as a guy who totally kicked the can out from under everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So saying any protests are one way or the other, this guy should be for all of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a system guy. Or at least he wasn't.
No, look, he's also somebody who pops in on The Daily Show quite often,
That's true.
To pontificate and go down that rabbit hole. And
well, he can have his beliefs, but the bottom line is like he has to also realize that this is not we're not in a linear thing with one person's thoughts being the only ones that matter.
Yeah, it was a bummer. But here's the thing. Like,
that's
I know for a fact if I'm at the Comedy Store tomorrow and Neil and I are in the hallway before our sets – I know he'd be the first to walk over and give me a hug.
Okay.
We just haven't seen each other since it all went down. I don't like to air these things
publicly,
because I like to.
She did a great job, though.
Yeah.
Great job holding back on that.
Initially, well,
can't wait for when
that's
he comes
my
back.
Olive branch, okay?
Well, I would just like to. Neil's here right now if you guys want to help out. Neil, come on out.
Jerry. Said, Jerry.
And he's in a. Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that because it's, and he's not wrong either. Because it's his thoughts.
But that's the thing. Like, I respect his beliefs.
Right.
And even when he was talking to me about the justification of BLM, I was like, okay, I understand that. Like, I get it. I totally understand your perspective. And there are things that I certainly, that he'll say that I'll be like, I agree with that. Yeah. I totally get that. I think that there is just an absolute door shut, padlock it, zero tolerance to thinking anything else from this perspective, from my perspective.
Stay in your
and
bubble.
I hate to say this, but I'll say it. As a comic, I find that more often than not, when you go into more progressive-leaning cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, there's less of a tolerance to hear a perspective from the other side. As
Which
opposed
defeats
to
comedy.
Going to, yes.
Yeah.
Like you could go into Houston and dump on Trump for 30 minutes, and if it's still funny,
they'll laugh.
They're going to laugh.
They might bother you afterwards.
Yeah, but even still, I've had people after shows going, he's my guy, but that was really funny.
Right.
It was really funny.
You can laugh at him, which is great.
Yeah.
The echo chamber can kind of have a moment.
Yeah, Neil and I will get an organic kale smoothie and have some tofu and have some laughs over this at some point.
And step over some homeless on the way back to the hotel and say everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, if it wasn't for mental health issues, there would be no comedy.
And that's going to be a new thing. That I think this is going to be bigger than we think it is.
Totally agree.
It's going to become a new caveat, a new excuse. But I think that, I think it makes us go back and appreciate those Like Jim Kelly should be like,
good
like
God,
the face of mental awareness. That guy went to 4 Super Bowls and lost consecutively.
All of them. Meanwhile, his kids, his son Hunter, had some disease no one had heard of, and the guy's got to deal with that in his personal life, and then still managed to be
and
one
he
of the
overcame.
Best quarterbacks.
He did. Yeah.
What was it? Throat cancer?
I think it was
jaw and throat.
Yeah.
Mouth. Because he chewed too much.
If anybody had an excuse to go, I'm not feeling it today. Yeah. I get the twist. It'd be him.
The twisties. The twisties. It's cute, such an adorable thing to quit the Olympics over. Yeah. I find that to be, I don't like the excuse side. I think that's so true. And I think it's going to become a crutch.
Especially when you're there because that's what it's about. Well, it's overcoming the pressure.
Everybody's
that's
under pressure.
That's what separates the legends from us.
Yep. It's that one shining moment.
From us.
Yeah, we're just, well.
Lump me in that. Oh, you mean Brady.
He looks like a cubicle worker, but we look like we could have played somewhere.
We could have, people might confuse us. Were you Jay Buhner at one? And I'm like, yeah, I was Jay Buhner.
This guy doesn't have the twisties.
Weren't you the girl
No.
that, yeah.
No.
I eat the churros.
Yeah. Twizzlers is what you get a case of. Yeah. People confuse you for maybe like, weren't you a great golfer or something like that at one point? Maybe people know.
Yeah, I wore the Reebok pumps. I was Michael Chang.
Weren't you?
Tennis.
You were a mathlete, weren't you?
I was a mathlete. That's right, I was the
probably,
92
but that was
Spartan B champ.
Brady, people walk up to him and say, weren't you the girl that licked the wallpaper in Willy Wonka? And they go, oh, son of a bitch. What else is going on? Well, COVID treated you. Okay, we're done. My prediction is you're the second to last act that goes, and then we're shutting her down again.
You think so?
I think we're going to start hearing crazy soon again win.
I think what's going to happen, because L.A. County just went to mask mandates.
Yep.
We're gonna come into flu season.
Yep.
And that's the one thing I wonder. I was like, is it going to come back? Are we going to go into at least seating capacities? But do you foresee a potential shutdown?
Yeah, I think I've said for
after Lollapalooza this weekend.
We'll get that out of the way. After the last year, I've been saying this is a dress rehearsal. This one's not so bad.
Oh, you think?
I think COVID was a dress rehearsal. Well, right, but the next one that comes, we're going to fight so hard against anything they say.
I think,
and it's going to
be
the real one. It's going to be the big one. And what we need in this planet?
Don't know which is true.
Tweet this, because what we need in this planet is about 2 billion off. And I think the Earth is going to shake. She's shaking.
Do that.
Done. Yeah, I know. Shake us off like fleas. Mother Nature doesn't lose. We're fleas.
A flat death tax, 15% across the board.
I think 2 billion getting off is fair.
2 billion.
We sustain about 5 billion. We can do that. We got about 7.5 right now. We need a 2 billion, and this thing's coming to get us.
Well, that's it's like it's India.
Right. Well, that's called genocide. I don't want to eliminate one.
You see,
you're different. Now I got to go to the Holocaust Museum after this.
Guys,
don't take selfies. Sorry, I didn't mean it. It was just the thick of the moment.
Right. It just happened.
I blame Anthony Rizzo.
He was in a mood.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it. But like,
really think we're going to shut down again, though?
I think we're going to try, and I think
they're going to try.
The masses will fight immediately. And this the first one wasn't so bad. We could have just cooperated with each other and been all right because it's really kind of just a bad flu.
Right.
We could have, let's just do what they say. Keep the hospitals clean. This next one is going to be the one that goes, this one actually gets you. And people are like, I'm not doing anything they say. They lied to us for
And maybe the only reason that it could, because, for a lot of places, the way we rebounded after being shut down economically was a lot quicker than they anticipated.
It was wildly inconvenient.
We could do this again, maybe.
Yeah,
you miss me.
Yeah.
You're going to need me back, everybody.
Why? He's campaigning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
He's still president in some places in his
life. Yeah. I think it's crazy that the social media outlets – the Taliban's on Twitter.
Yeah.
And they go,
he's not allowed. Trump can't talk.
I think that, look, as a comic, and I've had this debate with many of my comedian friends, I'm like, look, I don't care what you think or say, but it's still wrong that they kicked this guy off. It's wrong that they kicked him off social media. And I don't know. I got big issues with that. And there's a lot of comments like, no, he deserved it. It's like you're forgetting the principle of this. You're thinking about the man. I understand you don't agree with his ideology or whatever it might be. There's the brashness or whatever. But you still.
The Klan has a right to speak.
In this country,
all these other organizations that
awful.
You're talking about.
It's awful, but it's
and that's why I'm here today. My actual appearance. We're going to.
You got the cross all ready to go.
Yeah.
We got some petrol in the back of the car.
Man, did I find a nice piece of wood.
I hate some of the things that people have to say, but they have a right to say it. When they act, that's different.
And again, it's like there's always this faux outrage, right, in the media. Oh, my God, the Klan's coming to New York City. Right. It's like, why are you giving it any gravity? Because we all know in New York City when the Klan came, there was maybe 30 people marching down the street.
Right.
They're
and like 2,000 on the sides. Like, guys, that's the point. We won. Right. Like, visually, just look at the optics. We won. It's fine. Stop giving it fuel. You know?
Well, I've been against the civil rights movement because I think it identifies racists faster. It made it illegal to be racist. But without it, you could put the sign that says, I don't want this, this, or this in my business. And then you're like, now we know.
Now we know.
So there is, I think everybody should. I don't think there should be any like ramifications on what people say.
Well, race is a whole bucket of work. I mean, now you got critical race theory, and I think critical race theory should be taught in schools because there are benefits to it. I think that it's the quickest way for grade schoolers to learn division.
Boom! Boom! Again, a math joke.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call the pink spoon in the biz. It's called a little taste, a little sample, a little hit. You want the sundae? There's 31 other flavors here.
Want the yayo. So let me just guess. During his critical race theory talk, an Asian made a math joke. Really? Really? This is what I have to close with?
I can't disappoint.
You don't.
I'm not here to disappoint.
It's always good talking to you. We went on for like 2 hours on Caliendo's podcast that one time. It's just great. It's fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. So it's always good to have you. You've been doing this for a long time. So.
The happiest man on the planet.
Frank? Oh, yeah. Without question.
Sunshine.
There's nothing about that guy. Look, my internet password is not Frank Caliendo is difficult because I'm honest about it. It's a joke, right? No, it's always at his house. Frank Caliendo is difficult as the internet password if you're
Is it really?
Yeah, I made it that. Because everything's a hassle.
I mean, literally one of the flawlessly entertaining guys and so gifted and so talented. Just one of those guys that God just went, bink. Just touched, and it's like...
And it made his face fat. When God touched him, it made his face bigger.
Skinny fat.
He's got the skinny body, and then they play... He's like one of those books that had three pages, and you turn and make different things out of it. Yeah, his face is wrong. It's not right for...
Bobblehead.
That giant head of his.
Yeah, he's massive. Got like a... he's got like the body of a real... Of like a state champion wrestler, but then the face of a truck driver. You know? It's like... You should always be holding a Slim Jim and a...
Or, as I've said, the face of a man with a peanut allergy, and the body has not yet reacted.
Wait until he swallows.
The old man, when the whole thing, when it gets in the bloodstream past the face, forget it. It's over. Well, it's good bashing on Frank, because he's easy to attack, and there are no groups that are going to defend him.
Yeah. So I love him.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do love the guy.
He's the best.
But
it was fun. So it's always good to talk to you. Steve's always got something good to say. Steve Byrne at Desert Ridge. And if you want somebody who's unafraid and going to go up on stage and do the show and not worry about, you know, comments from
But
you.
It's still like having fun. It's not like, I'm going to be dangerous.
Oh, you know, you're not.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not like Carlos Mencia. Like, I'm going to say the things nobody says, bro. It's like, no, I'm just like stating an opinion that's like middle. I'm like literally... I have a middle centrist viewpoint where I dump on both sides.
Yeah, the best part about that, again, I have to comment as the guy, as the post-game interview. The man who said, I'm not dangerous, attacked a man while he told us he wasn't dangerous. He went after Carlos Mencia.
Well, Carlos and Neil Brennan can start a bowling team together. Is that what you're driving towards? I love Neil, though.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
He's hard enough to
love Neil.
Let's just back that up.
Carlos...
Not so much. Really? Not a fan of Carlos Mencia?
I don't have anything against
him. Just said you didn't like him.
Well, we all know the knock against him, but when we were at the Comedy Store and he was coming through and he was the guy beating his chest and he was the big star then, like you would literally be in the middle of a set and other comics would be like, hey,
he's here.
From the back of the room. Yeah. It's like, oh, then you knew.
I've heard it.
Here's start doing crowd work.
Zip it
Where
up,
are you from? How you
up.
Doing? Give it up for the single ladies. I've been sober for 6 years. It's like, that's when all those lines come out, you know?
Wow. I see, and he's always been nice to us when he comes here, and people say that, but the knock is there for a reason, evidently.
It's still a chip. I mean,
it's there.
Yeah. That's an albatross he's not gotten rid of. Yeah. He's not rebounded from it, and...
I think he's funny. Like, when he's in here, he's funny. I just don't – I don't know. It's not my world.
Yeah. Well, it's mine.
Yeah, no. Well, now you know. Well, maybe he'll get traded.
You know
that's the only way it'll work. Right, get traded to another comedy club. Steve Byrne at Desert Ridge this weekend. Leave us with words of wisdom quickly.
Well, I'm not Frank Caliendo. I try to do my best. But, I just would say that, look, this summer's been tumultuous.
Yep.
It's been a crazy year. I would highly recommend coming out to CB Live to have a great time because yep. I'm one of the few comics that I'm telling you, I care. I genuinely aww. Care about the shows, oh. and I want everybody to have a great time. And I'm gearing up to film my fifth hour special, and it's the hardest I've ever worked on one. So
well, there you go.
I'm really, really excited
beautiful.
About it.
Yeah. All the success in the world you deserve.
And I'm selling – I don't – normally comics sell merch after the show. Yeah. Like I'm selling Rizzo shirts that, with the new Yankee thing. That's my merch.
Pre-order now.
Yankee yeah. gear.
Yeah.
With Rizzo and like Sharpie written on the back of Reggie Jackson jersey.
Yeah. I'm sponsored by the Yes Network, by the way.
Oh, too. Are you? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Tell Michael I said hi. All right, there you go. Steve Byrne at Desert Ridge this weekend. It's 98 KUPD.
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet Mesquite. Repeat, ericsfamilybbq.com.